First Peter chapter 1, we'll be picking up our thought from last Sunday. What is important to you? What is important to you? You say, preacher, that's very simplistic, very simple. But if you think about it, it's really the hub of your life. If you think about it, your whole life rotates around what's important to you. Amen. What you like and what you love will be what you live for. Amen. And what you live for, you will give yourself to it. Dedication is easy. Getting somebody to dedicate themselves to something or someone is easy. Once that object becomes important, dedication is automatic. Our churches are dying because of one thing: a lack of importance of the Savior. Jesus has too many competitors in our life. He has too much competition in our life. There's too many things, too many subjects that are trying to take His place. There's a constant battle in your life and mine over what is going to be important. Some things that I treat important may not be important. Some things that are important, I may not treat them important. I think that it would help us greatly if we would look at our life and just see, really, ask ourselves, be honest with yourself, you know, what really is important to me? If I could write a list of 10 things that's important to me, and be honest with yourself and not write them to show your preacher, your parents, or your mate, or friends, or nobody, just you write them down just for the honesty of yourself, how many of those 10 things would be spiritual? A lot of things that's important today are material, social, financial, and some people political. Amen. And, you know, but how much is spiritual? And let's look at our text, and the reason we picked this text, and I mean, there's scriptures all through the Bible that could be used for this, but the Lord spoke to my heart about 1 Peter chapter number 1. We'll start reading in verse 22, and then we'll read down through chapter 2, verse number 3. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass, and the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, and all guile, and all hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Let's bow for just a moment of prayer and ask the Lord to have His way. Heavenly Father, we come before You in Jesus' name, and we ask, Lord, that You will direct our thoughts and that You will guide us and that You will help us. Lord, we are a needy people. We are absolutely in need of the touch of God. And I pray that You'll speak to me and through me for Your glory. Lord, help me to explain, Lord, what You have burdened our heart with. And Lord, may it be big to all of us, because I know it's big to You. Have Your will in Your way, and we'll thank You for it. Save sinners, stir the saints of God, and we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. What's important to you? When you think of verse 2 of chapter 2, you think of when that baby is born, It doesn't take but just a matter of minutes till you find out what's important to that baby. What's important to that baby is birthed out of its nature. It is born with a natural appetite. It is born with the intense need to feed. That's in it. That's not in there by education. That's not in there by training and teaching. That's in there by nature. And when God saves somebody, that likewise, as when God saves somebody, there is a nature inside you that brings about an appetite. And anyone that would claim to be saved and do not have that appetite for spiritual things possibly could be deceived. Amen. And so we find there as the interpretation of what that baby is doing when it comes into this world. And I've seen them, Brother Thacker, I've seen them just minutes old. I'm talking just minutes, not hours, minutes. And they're already screaming their lungs out for something to eat. Amen. They don't know what it all is about, but they just know I'm hungry. And somebody better pay attention, because this is important to me, and I'm going to cry till I get it. Amen? Amen. So a baby coming into this world knows what's important to it and lives to have it. And doesn't matter what kind of fit he pitches or she pitches to get it. It don't matter if it embarrasses you, me, or the whole crowd. They're going to pitch a fit, and the interpretation of that crying is, I want what's important to me. I want what's important to me. Now, of course, just like a baby, later on, they start seeing the effectiveness of that crying. They start noticing that, oh, I pitch a fit, I can get milk. Later on, if I pitch a fit, I'll get money. Amen. At first, they realize, you know, if I want what I want and it's important to me, that somebody's going to pay attention and I'm going to get it. But after a while, that old depravity shows up. That old depraved nature shows up. And then they start, my friend, being spoiled. And they start crying if you don't pick them up. And they cry and pitch a fit over things that are not important. Amen. At first, it's over what is important, and then it becomes what is not important. Do we not also have that same problem as believers when we are born again? We at first, boy, there's that intense desire for the Word of God. Man, we can't get enough of church, and oh, we love to hang around God's people. And if you're not careful, listen, what's important will slide, go aside, and then something that's not important will come into its place. Amen? It's critical when you first get saved for those first several months to pay very close attention to what's important to you. Are you listening? When I first got saved, I hadn't been saved but just a very few days, and I was engaged to a girl and to get married, and all of a sudden, she didn't want that life that I had. She didn't want to go that church life and that revival life and that praying life and of course the preaching life. She didn't want to go that route, so she abandoned and ran the other direction. Well, I thought, oh my soul, you know, that to me, I thought that was important at the time. But I had to make a decision. I had to make a choice, and God helped me, Brother Brooks, to make the right choice. Had I made the wrong choice at that point, I didn't realize what a crossroads I was at. I didn't realize what was at stake at that night, that evening, when I had to make a decision. Am I going to back away from God to have her? Or am I going to say bye-bye and stay with God? In other words, I had a battle of what was important to me. There I was faced with two things that was important to me. One was spiritual, of course, and the other was carnal, of course. You see, and so I had to make a decision right there. And And I've done tasted enough. I've done tasted enough of the good things of God. In that 7-week revival I got saved in, and this was early on, I got saved on the second night, and it was early on in that meeting that this happened. I'd probably been saved about a week, maybe 2 weeks. And there I had to make a decision to turn loose of something that I might lay hold on another. No man can serve two masters. You can't, and you need to learn this. Even if you've been saved 5 minutes or 50 years or more, it doesn't matter. You need to learn. You can't serve two masters. You can't have the importance of two worlds in your life. You can't have the importance of God and the spiritual world and the importance of the flesh and the natural world. You can't hold hands with both. And you better be careful. You better think it through thoroughly over what you're going to turn loose of. Because you'll find out I can't do both. Because they're going in separate directions and you can't hold on to both. Amen. You can't hold on to both. And so you need to realize that I'm going to have to turn loose of one. But let me ask you to think about something very seriously. That before you would turn loose of the Lord and embrace something of this world in the flesh, know that it's going to affect you the rest of your life. I've been saved, Miss Sherry, 30 years. This past January, 30 years. I made that critical choice and that critical decision, Brother Carroll, it's been over 30 years now. I come to that, and what if I'd have made the wrong move right there on that one crossroads of that one decision? I would not be standing here 30 years later preaching the Word of God. So you be careful. Young people, your spirituality is your responsibility as well as for us adults. You be careful what you embrace and what you turn loose of. Because 10, 15, 20, 30 years or more down the way, you may still be walking that path that you chose. You better choose wisely. You better choose wisely. I had an individual down at where I was preaching this week, a young person came to me and said, and told me, said, "Preacher, you know what I did?" I said, "No, but I'm fixing to find out." I just know. This person said that she was in love with this individual back many, many years ago, and it never come to pass, and she was so mad over that. That she said, that her words was, "I went and married the first man that came along." Are you listening? Now, of course, she's had several. Are you listening? I'm talking about foolishness. Amen. Making stupid decisions when you can't get what you want. You, amen, and go and say, "Well, if that's the case and I can't have it, well then I'll just go and kick a little and scream a little and pitch a hissy and I'll, hey, listen, guess who's having to live with that? Guess who's having to live with all of those wrong moves and wrong decisions? Guess who? It's not that she hurt nobody else but herself." So you better watch out what's important to you. What's important to you matters much. It's much of much significance. It's of much consequence. It's prominent. It's large. It's big in your life. And there's always going to be a battle over what's big in your life. And in the scripture, there's several areas of importance. You'd agree with that. Several areas of importance. And I know that through the Bible, and I'm not going to mention all of them, because there's a lot more than what I've got wrote down. But I want to tell you, everywhere I looked, I see Bible characters that something was important to. And let me just give you some of them. Some of them's negative. Let me deal with the negative first. What about Eve? She allowed something to become important to her that God never intended to become important. And it became important to her even though there was a lot of alternatives. They could eat of every tree of the garden. Every one of them. And there was multiple, there's no telling how many thousands that was. Because Eden was big. But yet there was one little unpermitted tree, forbidden tree that caught her attention. And the devil started whispering in her ear and started, my friend, telling her, look how pretty and look how nice. And wouldn't that taste good? And wouldn't that be good for food? And wouldn't it make you wise? And through the process, and it didn't just happen overnight. What happened to Eve did not happen at the snap of the finger. What happened to Eve could have possibly went over months and years. The devil don't mind waiting for your fall. The devil don't mind taking his time and exercising patience. He doesn't mind to wait, to whisper, to work, to get you to the place to where you start listening to him and agreeing with him and saying, you know, that does look good and I bet it would taste good. And you know, and all of a sudden what God never intended, Brother Mark, to be important, all of a sudden was important. And we're still reaping the repercussions of that. Are you listening? So I thought about Eve. I thought about another Bible character that allowed things to become important that should have never been, and that was Lot. Lot, in fact, his whole family. His whole family allowed things to become important that wasn't supposed to be. You know the story, how that Abraham and his herdsmen and Lot and his herdsmen started having division, and they said, this ought not to be, for we be brethren. And Abraham said, Lot, choose. You go one way and I'll go the other. And guess what Lot did? He looked down to the well-watered plains of Sodom and said, I believe that's a good place for cattle. Never thinking, I bet that'd be a bad place for kids. Never thinking, I bet that'd be a bad place for companions. I bet that'd be a bad place to raise a family. No, he thought more of his cows than he did his kids. And he made a decision based on what was important to him instead of what was most important or what should have been most important. And he went down to the well-watered plain, and you know he becomes somebody there in Sodom and Gomorrah. He had his position in the gates. That meant that he had social standings. He had social recognition. He was probably involved in the political structure of Sodom and Gomorrah. He was somebody there. He would have probably been named in the who's who. And then there's his kids. Every last one of them went to the dogs. Every last one of them. Are you listening? I mean, pathetic. He lost his kids and his own wife. My friend, he lost her as she turned around over a paternal instincts to look back at that city going up in smoke and destruction and condemnation, and her own kids was there. She turned around and God turned her into a pillar of salt. I wonder if Lot ever thought, you know what? I wished I had that day up there on that mountain when I looked down to the well-watered plains that I would have asked myself, is that important for cows or is that important for kids? And you look at it, you count it up, friend, all of Lot's family made up 10 people. Sons, sons-in-laws, daughters. And what was it Abraham said when he went to praying about God sparing judgment on that land? He said, God, if I can go, and he started high, but then he come all the way down. He said, Lord, if I could find 10 righteous, will you spare it? If I find 10, you know what Abraham was saying? Surely Lot and Miss Lot, and surely their family is living for God. I know they're in a wicked place, but surely they're living for God. If I can find 10 righteous, would you spare? And Lord said, I will spare it for 10. And only to come and find out there was none. In fact, we wouldn't even believe Lot was saved if it wasn't for what Peter said about him. Called him righteous. Lot vexed his righteous soul. We wouldn't even believe he is saved. Are you listening? So there's Eve. And there's Lot. What about all of the earth's inhabitants when Moses, or when Noah was preaching for 120 years? The ark wasn't important to them. The ark wasn't important to them, was it? Getting saved, missing the judgment of God? Was that what was important to them? No, because Matthew 24 says that they ate and drank and married and given marriage. And in other words, they just lived it up. What should have been important wasn't important. And every last one of them died under the judgment of God. So the inhabitants of the old world prior to the flood. What about the rich young ruler that came to Jesus and said to Jesus, I've done all of this. I've kept these commandments from my youth up. And the Lord told him a thing that he needed to do. Take all of your possessions, your riches, and go and sell it and give it to the poor. He wasn't telling you you gotta get rid of your bank account to get saved. But he knew that that bank account and his riches was important to him. I believe I could say this, and I've never said it, I don't reckon, in my whole ministry. But I believe I can say that in light of that illustration, Brother Brian. Before God ever saves anybody, he'll deal with things in their life about what's important. And usually it's sin. Sin is important to sinners. That's why they do it. That's why they give themselves to it. That's why they live every day for it. It's because it's the big deal in their life. It's important. It matters to them. Are you listening? But the rich man, the rich young ruler told Jesus, or the Bible said he went away sorrowful. In other words, I'm not giving that up. I'm not doing that, Lord, to have eternal life. He asked the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He asked the question, the Lord told him, and my friend, he went away sorrowful, the Bible says, and no account that we ever have that that man ever got saved. What about the rich farmer? That he said, I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger barns. That was important to him. He was a successful farmer. He evidently could really grow the crops and have more crops coming in than he had places to put it. So he said, I'm going to tear my barns down and build bigger barns. Why? So that in later years I can retire and eat and drink and just kick back and have a big time. Never made no thought of, no plan whatsoever of eternity. And Brother Bob, you know what the Bible says? That God spoke to him and said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. In other words, you've made barns important. You've made crops important. You've made the earthly life important. You've made plans for staying, but no plans for leaving. And in one night, he said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then it said, who shall those things be? Somebody else is going to have what was important to you. What a thought. How many people is living their life for what will be handed to someone else? Living their life, what, my friend, cannot pass through the grave. Living their life for those things that will stay on this side. You can't stop the fact that you're eternity bound. You can't stop the fact that you're eternity bound. Nothing you can do to stop that. That's a fact. Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Mark her down, friend. You're eternity bound. Every one of us, every person on planet Earth is headed for one of two places, heaven or hell. And what you do with Jesus determines where you go. whether you accept Him or whether you reject Him. But oh, how many people are living for this life and making plans for this life. And everything about this life is important. Popularity is important. Prosperity is important. Possession, positions is important. Peers is important. Power is important. But how much of that will really be important when you're drawing your last breath? There's people died, my friend, that didn't have enough money to pay attention. And then there's been people died that had billions, not millions, billions of dollars. And they died the same way. Every one of them drew their last breath. Every one of them, their heart stopped. Every one of them, my friend, their spirit left their body. Every one of them. And I promise you, this is right. If those that had the billions and billions of dollars, if you could have went to their bedside and they're in a conscious state and a good mental state, and if you could have asked them, give me everything you've got and I will extend your life, they wouldn't hesitate, Brother Bruce, to empty the bank account. Of course, some of them wouldn't. Some of them probably wouldn't. What's important to you? What's important to you? Hey, man. How many people even in the building today? Things that's so important to you and the devil's made it important to you, not important. You know what worry is? Come on, I can write a book on it. If you look it up in the dictionary, it's probably got my name in there in the definition somewhere. Hey man, somebody said my blood pressure problem was due to stress. I said, pastor in a church, Baptist people, is stressful? You're kidding me. Are you listening? Amen. I'm talking about what's important, and we worry. You know what you worry about? What the devil's convinced you is important. And most of the time, what you worry about never happens anyway. And the other big portion of what you worry about, you can't change no way. And the other probably 5% is non-existent. Amen? So why worry? See, God says, why worry when you can pray? The devil says, why pray when you can worry? Amen? If you're not careful, you'll worry over things the devil's made big in you, made important to you, when in reality, it's draining you of what's really important. There's people got out of church over what they worry about. There's been homes bust up over what they worry about. Hello? Amen? Amen, that's right, isn't it? Worry. Oh, God, help us to know that's not big. That shouldn't be big in our life. That's the opposite of faith. Amen. Worry. Wants? Anybody got any wants that's big? I didn't ask for spiritual. I just said, are they big? Well, if you're not careful, greed, covetousness, envy will get in your life and eat you alive. Amen. We're to be content with such things as we have. Amen. The only time contentment is sin is when you're content with what you are. If you're content with what you have, that's told us in the Scripture. But when you're content with the spiritual level you're on, amen, then that's sin. And if you're content with that, you'll never desire to go further with the Lord and higher with the Lord and deeper with the Lord. Worry and wants and warfare. Anybody got any fights going on in your life? Any warfare going on in your life? If you're not careful, the devil will make that big. He'll make that important. And you can tell it's God important to you because it's all you think about. You can tell it's God important to you because it's all you talk about. Amen, come on now. You can tell it's God important to you because every waking moment on your pillow, those thoughts are in your mind. You can tell what's big to you by what you think about, talk about, what affects you most. Amen. Let me give you some others. What about Pilate? Pilate, when was stand before him the very Lord Jesus Christ, and had to make a decision between between Jesus and Barnabas. You know what the Bible said about Pilate? He willing to content the people. He knew that this man, Jesus, was just and holy. He knew that. But he wanted the pleasure of the people. He wanted their popular vote to the point that the Bible said he was willing to content the people. I said, preacher, why are you talking about? I'm talking about that was big to him. That was important to him. And that's why he even turned Jesus out to the cross. How many people today turns Jesus a way to content people, satisfy friends, satisfy people, family, friends, or whatnot. Now listen, I know what I'm talking about, friend. Amen. I'm not the oldest one here, amen, but I will tell you this. I've seen a little bit of water go under the bridge, and I've seen many young people, when they got in relationships, their spirituality went down the drain. Are you listening? Amen. I tell you what, friend, you ought to never compromise your relationship and your fellowship with Jesus. Not for nobody. Not for nothing. Never compromise what you have with the Lord. Just like that first major decision, that first crossroads, Brother Klepper, I came to, I had to make a choice. Am I going to go with spiritual devotion or am I going to go with physical attraction? And most young people today, they don't care about a person's spirituality. They don't care much about what the other person's spiritual life is. All they're wanting to know is what they look like. And I want to tell you this, and I could put some names on this illustration that comes to mind even now, but I'm not going to. If you marry after the flesh, what it looks like, the shape of it, I'll tell you there'll be a soon day in your life that you will regret it. I could give you an example right now of a wedding that my wife and I attended that costed probably several hundred thousand dollars. Several hundred thousand. I wouldn't be a bit surprised to say $800,000 to $900,000. I mean, just the banquet, the reception was $100 and something a head, and there was just a sea of people in there. Guess what? Had that big fancy ordeal, and the marriage didn't even last a year. You know what happened? You know what happened? Married the flesh, buddy. You marry the flesh and what it looks like and the beauty of it, that don't mean, listen, that's not what keeps a marriage together. In fact, a lot of times that's what destroys a marriage. Because the same flesh you got interested in, somebody at the workplace will get interested in. Say amen, and that's what happened. Are you listening? I tell you what, friend, how important is the spiritual? Well, I don't know why I got on all that, amen, but there's plenty of it there. Let me deal with some positives right quick. What about Abel? You know what was important to Abel? His sacrifice. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. His sacrifice was important to him. What about Joseph? What do you think was important to Joseph? Joseph, my friend, his purity. Joseph, my friend, was persecuted. He had all kinds of things going on in his life, amen, that were negative. But you know what? He retained and stayed pure with God, even when Potiphar's wife tried to literally molest him and lie on him because he wouldn't yield. His purity was important to him. Is your sacrifice like Abel? Is your sacrifice important? You say, preacher, what's our sacrifice? No, it's not turtle doves and calves and pigeons and oxen and lambs. Your sacrifice is found in Romans chapter 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Amen. How important is your sacrifice? The sacrifice of your body. To yield your body. Let me give you this, Lord, give this to me. Just a few days ago, without the sacrifice of Jesus' body, there's no salvation. Would you not agree with that? Without the sacrifice of your body, there'll be no spirituality. My salvation depends on the sacrifice of His body. My spirituality depends upon the sacrifice of my body.
Amen.
Are you listening? So we find Abel in his sacrifice, Joseph in his purity. What about Job? If anybody had reason to complain and whine and murmur, it was Job. But you know what the Bible says several times in the book of Job, chapter 2, verse 3 and 9, chapter 27, verse 5, chapter 31, verse 6, that he retained his integrity. You know what was important to Job? His integrity, his honesty, his testimony. How important to you is your integrity and your testimony? I tell you right now, I believe I'd rather die than to lose my testimony. I believe I'd rather, and that's not just preaching, I mean that. How could I face y'all right here that I've preached to for 19 years and seen many of you get saved? How could I face you having thrown my testimony and ministry to the wind? My integrity means more than my temptations. It'll help us to say no to temptations if we think first. Now, wait a minute. If I do this, not only how is it going to affect my fellowship with the Lord, but what's it going to do to my testimony? Are you listening? I'm not prideful. I'm not prideful. But I'll tell you, it does something for me when little kids and young teenagers come up and want me to sign their Bible. And parents come and tell me, say, preacher, you know, little Sissy and little Junior, they think you're their hero. You say, preacher, does that make you puff up like an old rooster, like old peacock, you know, blowed up? No, that just goes to my heart and says, thank you, Jesus, because it's by the grace of God that I hadn't been a casualty in a spiritual fatality.
Amen.
Amen. I want to tell you, I've not made it this far and this long because of any endurance on my part. I want to tell you, God's helped me. We've all been tempted. We've all been tempted. But I want to tell you what's helped me is, brother, I weigh it out beforehand. I weigh it out and know the cost, count the cost, and I don't like what I'm counting. I live for the ministry. If I couldn't preach, I'd rather die. And I mean that before the Lord. I'd rather, there ain't nothing on planet Earth I'd rather do than to preach the gospel. Amen. I mean, it's in me, and I love it. And I don't just love doing it. I love to see results, and I love to see people get saved and homes put together and lives changed and young people determined to follow the Lord and live for Jesus. What about another? Let me give you another one. What about, that was Abel and Joseph and Job. What about Abraham? You know what was important to Abraham? Obedience. More important than even the sacrifice of his own son, he was willing to sacrifice Isaac. And the knife was in his hand, and his knife, the hand was drawn, ready for the plunge of a knife into his own son as a sacrifice. Obedience was more important to him. How important is obedience to you? You say, wow, what a Bible character Abraham was. What a man he was. He was a man of faith, but his faith produced obedience. How important is it to you obey God? When God speaks to you and God deals with you, by the way, do you think that God asked Abraham to do a little thing? He asked him to leave the Ur of the Chaldees. That's his home. That's his home turf, home place, where all family and friends and familiarity was. And God said, "I'm calling you to leave him, buddy." He just packed up and out he went. They said, "Where are you going?" "Don't know. But I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God." Amen. I'm looking for a city. He's directing me. He's leading me. He is guiding me. He'll find different places through Abraham's life where he obeyed God. How important is obedience to you? Speaks to you about being faithful to church, speaks to you about being faithful to God's Word, speaks to you about praying, speaks to you about self-denial, speaks to you about witnessing, speaks to you, and you argue and you pull and you fight with Him over it. There's no joy to be found in just being saved. Some of the most miserable people in this world, and some of the most miserable people in this building, my friend, are saved people. Are you listening? I've been miserable since I've been saved. And it's always because of disobedience. Always. I've never had a lack of joy when I was saying, "Yes, Lord." I've never had a lack of joy, Brother Silas, when I said, "Lord, what is it you want me to do?"
That's right. Amen.
Amen. So there's Abraham. Obedience was important to him. What about Daniel? Somebody speak up. What do you think was important to Daniel? Speak out where I can hear you. Prayer. Daniel? I mean, it was falsified, fabricated a trap to try to trap him, you know. But they said, "I tell you what, we can't put our finger on nothing in Daniel's life. Let's make a decree that if anybody prays to any other god than that of the kingdom here, then we'll arrest him." Because they knew Daniel would be guilty of that. And he went back, as at other times, knelt down with his window open and prayed. Even when he was under pressure, even when he was under the threat of persecution. And does anybody know what the persecution was? What was it? Lion's den. Are you listening? But even under pressure, how many, if somebody told you, it's either you don't do that or it's the lion's den, how many of us will say, "Well, you know what, I think I might just pray inwardly. I think I might just pray secretly. I may just let my spirit pray." Huh? You say, "Preacher, would we do that?" Oh yeah. How many in here, even the devil says, "You're too tired." The devil says something like, "You're too busy. You pray tomorrow." I mean, look at what it takes to knock us out of praying. But Daniel, it was important to him to pray, buddy. Listen, was it not important to Christ to pray? You find I'm talking about God manifest in the flesh, the Son of God, the possessor of all power in heaven and earth. But you find him, Brother Rob, all the time going out into a mountain to pray or into the garden to pray, getting out alone to pray. If it was important to Daniel, it was important to Jesus. Is it important to us? The first thing was said about the people in the upper room in Acts chapter 1 was that they prayed. See, we want Acts 2. We want Acts chapter 2. We want the Spirit of God to move and souls by the thousands be saved. But you don't have chapter 2, you have chapter 1. The Spirit of God did not move in chapter 2 until the saints of God seen that it was important to pray. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I wonder how many in this building came to church this morning and not even prayed. Are you listening? You know why? Listen, I'm not jumping on you. I'm just preaching that we're all in need of help in this area. All of us. I'd say none of us are praying near like we ought to pray, and I believe it's evident by the atmosphere of the service this morning. Somebody's going to have to get a hold of God and pray. Listen, I thought about this. You know what? When the disciples came to Jesus, and they could have asked him anything, Brother Brian, but you know what they asked him? Teach us to pray. Not teach us to preach. Not teach us to perform miracles. They had the opportunity to ask one thing. Teach us to pray. Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray and not to faint. If you're fainting, it's because you're not praying. If you're praying, it'll prevent you from fainting. So there is Daniel. What about the three Hebrew children? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What about them? What do you think was important to them? I'll be done in a minute. Some of you already done. I'm not going to be done, but I'm just going to quit. But what do you think is important to him or them? Separation. What else? Standing for God. Their faith. The Lord spoke to my heart is devotion, which that's what separation and stand for God is, and faith is their devotion. Because the pressure was announced that if you don't, when you hear the music, that you don't bow, you will burn. And when the music struck up, everybody bowed except Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they purposed in their heart, we're not going to bow. We'd rather burn than to bow. You know what was important to them? Oh, help us, Lord. Their devotion. They'd rather died than to recant their devotion to the Lord. Can I say something? Is that important to us? Is our devotion to the Lord, our commitment to the Lord, to stand for God and to be different and to honor Him, is that really important to us? A lot of people can, preachers can preach about some things that are important. And there'll be people get mad. Sanctification. If you preach sanctification as the Bible presents it, people get mad. Separation, which is inseparable with sanctification. You preach that, and I do, and people get mad. When the attitude ought to be, preacher, if it's in the book, preach it to me. Whatever you get mad about is probably what you're going to have to deal with. I had a lady one time, boy, she'd give me the what for in my first church. I mean, I preached that night, and she'd give me the what for, buddy. I mean, she'd let me have it. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. I said, if it's not wrong, why are you mad? I'm not mad. Why are you mad? Amen. I'm talking about preaching the Word of God and make people mad sometimes. Why? Because what is preached from the Bible is what's important, and it comes up and finds that position is already filled. Amen. Let me give you some more right here right quick. Enoch. What do you think Enoch, what was important to Enoch? Walking with God or his fellowship with God. See, what's important to you, you will guard it. You say, well, if I was Enoch, I could have walked with God too. Is that right? Enoch lived in the days prior to the flood when wickedness abounded everywhere, and he walked with God 300 years. Do you think that he ever got up at one morning, maybe not feeling so much like walking with God that day? You know there was days, there was temptation, there was tiredness, there was, and if he was married, I know there was task, amen. But I want to tell you this, he guarded that. He made that important. Nothing's going to injure my fellowship with Jesus. I'm going to walk with God. What about Noah? What was important to him? What was important to Noah, you think? Is anybody listening? Or are you afraid to say anything, afraid to be wrong? What do you think Noah's, what do you think was important to Noah? Obedience or working, doing what God said for him to do. Though it looked ridiculous, there'd never been a rain before, never had it flooded before. What in the world is a man doing building an ark in his backyard? Amen. Looked rather ridiculous, looked stupid, probably was laughed at, probably was made fun of every day of his life, but he kept hammering and he kept sawing and he kept building and he kept working. Why? Because working for God and doing the work of God was important to him. The first thing Paul ever prayed when Paul got saved, first thing he prayed was, Lord, what would thou have me to do? So Paul, or Noah, his work. Paul, you know what was important to him? Finishing his course with joy and souls, winning souls. What about Nehemiah? Nehemiah, what was important to him was rebuilding what had been torn down by the enemy. And boy, there's a lot of that. What about David? What was important to David? His praise. His praise. What about Jesus? What was important to Jesus? Pleasing the Father and paying your price. Saving your soul. That's what's important to him. And you can tell it because that's what he lived for. And that's what he died for. And that's what he rose again for. Amen. So ask yourself tonight, this morning, what's important to you? And let me give you this and I'm done. Miss Paul, see you make your way. There are several in the Scripture where you find a mixture. You find where they had at times the good thing that was important. Then you find a bad thing that was important. Could David not also fit in that category? David, at one time, the devil convinced him that Bathsheba was important. Are you listening? And look at all that was attached to that, all because David thought that to be important. What about Samson? Samson had the ability to slay thousands with the jawbone of an ass. He is able. I mean, he had supernatural strength. Ripped up the gates of Gaza and carried them, I think it was like 10 or 12 miles up the hill. And the gates were so big that it took 10 men to close them and 10 men to open them. And he ripped them up, gates, bars and all, and carried them. But Samson one day thought Delilah was important. And it led for his downfall. Jacob thought that certain things were important, but then there was times that he was a trickster and a conniver. What about the disciples of the Lord? Well, when they following the Lord, then all of a sudden Jesus said, I'm leaving, I'm going away. And then guess what happens? They get discouraged. They go fishing. Peter's a cussing. I don't even know him. Denying him. I mean, they just fall apart. The two on the road to Emmaus, they were followers of the Lord. They were called disciples. But soon as what happened was different than what they thought should have happened and what they thought was expecting to happen, all of a sudden they get the poochie lip and they say, I'm going home. What's important to you? There's a battle in that area. Let's all stand on our feet. Thank you so much for your attention. Heavenly Father, I come in Jesus' name. Lord, I realize this morning what's important to us, we'll give ourselves to. We'll think a lot about it. We'll talk a lot about it. We'll be devoted to it. We'll guard it. Lord, I pray that every person in this building, saved or lost, members or visitors, will look at their life to see what's important? What's important? Lord, several of the things we pointed out about the Bible characters, several Bible characters, could we also look at our life and see those things to be important? Father, have your way, Lord, in this invitation. Lord, there's some young people need to get in the altar this morning and just purpose right now. Their mind be made up. I'm going with Jesus. And I'm never going to compromise that. I'm never going to sell that out for a boyfriend, a girlfriend, popularity, pleasures. I'm not going to sell it out. I'm going with Jesus. I'm going to always, at every crossroad, at every decision, at every choice, I'm always going to choose that belongs to the Lord. That's what Joshua did. When he looked at the whole congregation of the children of Israel, looked at the whole nation. Choose you this day whom you'll serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He made that choice, regardless what other people done. He made it a choice of going with Jesus. Lord, help folk today to do business with you. There's folk in here today that seriously, Lord, needs to look at their life as to what's important. We have lost people in the midst this morning. They need to consider how important is being saved. How important is it for me to get saved? Lord, that should really be on their mind. Father, have your way this morning, in Jesus' name.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.